A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my little darlings. I said, I'm just about to do the intro. Well, I'm doing the intro. This is the intro. This is it. This is good as it gets. And lovely Ben, who you know produces it, I said, watch this. And then I realised I'd oversold this intro. But today is a day like no other. Because it's your favourite podcast. Yes, it's Cuddle Club back for another episode. You lucky little bunnies. You pinch yourselves now. I had, and don't be jealous, but I had a lovely chat with Deliso Chaponda, and he is fantastic. You leave this podcast feeling very positive. He's such a nice, positive man, and he gave me some tips off air, as it is. Now, you might know Deliso from Britain's Got Talent. He made the final. We talk about that on the podcast because it is interesting, actually. And I forgive Amanda Holden for leaving Les Dennis, so it's quite a meaty episode. Oh, I'm Googling him, and he's got a picture of him and a lady. Who is it? He's on Facebook with a lady. We do talk about ladies anyway. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do a podcast and just by the very nature of it, ladies come up. So I got my nose a little beacon and I asked him some questions. He's going on tour. He's on tour. He's on tour. But I'll tell you that we can find tickets at the end of the show. And this is the show. Okay. Bye-bye. Hello. How are you?
Hello, Lou. Hello.
You've got a really lovely voice. Did you know that?
Oh, thank you so much. I love my voice, but it is also the bane of my existence in that it's very lovely for stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But it's not like macho. It's not good for like aggression.
Oh.
If ever I'm in a situation where I'm meant to be that kind of manly man, this is not the voice for it.
Yeah.
For bedtime story reading, perfect.
It could also diffuse the situation because if you were like, do you want to get tasty, mate? But you were like, do you want to get tasty, mate? It could make them laugh and be more enamored, you know?
It could. That's very true.
Where are you? Because you're not in your house, are you?
Yes, so I'm in a hotel because I'm doing a show for Lincoln University.
Was it mixed bill night or is it just you?
It's mixed bill night. So I sort of alternate between my tour shows and mixed bill nights.
Yeah.
And that's my ideal way of doing it. It's like being a sprinter and being a long distance runner. And I wouldn't want to specialize it either because there's stuff you can do at one which you can't do at the other.
So when you do a tour, you're doing a tour at the moment or you're just about to tour? Or by the time this goes out, you'll be touring?
Yes. And it's called Apocalypse Not Now. It was written during the pandemic about the end of the world. And I love it. And you can really deep dive. But I don't do the kind of knob gags I might do in a mixed bill night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like having both sides of my creativity to have an outlet.
Do you do 90 minutes with a break then?
Yes, I do 45, little break, 45.
Well, that is lovely, but then you've got to write 90 minutes and that seems like a bit much.
I wrote 2 hours. I always feel you need to write too much and then you get to play a bit. Because let's say I've only written 90 minutes, I walk in and I do my first joke, which is slightly risque, and I realize this crowd does not go for risque. There's nowhere to go. So it's always like you write too much, and then there's a little bit of wiggle room.
But how do you remember your stuff? Like, how do you remember 2 hours worth of stuff?
I've been a comedian for now like 20 years.
Right.
And my brain knows that jokes are important.
Yeah.
So I remember all my jokes.
No.
I could do a joke which I wrote in 2005. If someone told me like, oh, you used to do a joke about like someone being reformed, it would come back because I remember all the jokes. I don't remember directions. I don't remember where my keys are, but my brain knows jokes are important.
Wow. I might have a little rethink about what I'm up to. Have you been asked too many times about Britain's Got Talent? I wanted to briefly talk about that, but I...
No. It's like, it's one of those things. It changed my life. So I'm always happy to talk about it.
And like, what was it like then?
It was so much fun. Like when I went for the audition, I literally expected nothing. I did it so that I could get a nice video clip for corporates. I was like, I'm not going to get through, but I'll have a nice professional video. And then I went through and went so well. And it was because I wasn't expecting it or aiming for it, I was just having fun. It was absolutely such a delight. The whole experience was a delight. The only bit which was hard was the actual final.
Yeah.
But until the final, I was just having fun. But no human being could not get super stressed when there's £250,000 on the line.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Like, as soon as you let go of stuff, it's so much easier to obtain.
So much easier.
It's like, if you don't want something, chances are you'll get it because you're not grasping for it. It's mad, isn't it?
And it's that sort of game you have to play with yourself in that you've got to be like, okay, I want this, but I've got to tell myself I don't want it.
Are you quite clever? Very good education.
I am overeducated. That sometimes seems like cleverness, but I went to really good schools. And so how much is it my brain and how much is it I just went to the best schools? I went to really good schools in Kenya. Then I went to a school in Southern Africa, in Swaziland, which is, I still think, possibly the best school in Africa. Oh. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
When I meet people who went to that school, it verifies what I thought, because everyone I went to school is either like, I'm working for the UN or I'm chief immunologist. It was just like an overachiever creation.
Wow.
And it's also one of those things which make me realize that if all education was better, you just have brilliant people coming up, because it was nothing inherent about us. It was just the school was so good.
If the government invested in education everywhere, then there wouldn't be such a disparity. You know, it's disparity. How do you say it?
Disparity, I think.
Exactly. You know, if I'd gone to a good school, I did actually go to a school. Would you believe? I don't know what went wrong. Now, what are arms for if not for snuggling? Right, you ready for the quickfire round?
I am ready for the cuddle club.
It is intense, the quickfire round.
Okay, I'm ready.
You've done live telly. You can do anything. Was it live? It's not live.
Yes, it's live.
Fucking hell.
Not all of it, but the second and third bit were live. I've done live.
Okay. Michael Fassbender or EastEnders?
Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
I've never watched EastEnders, so it has to be Michael Fassbender.
It's got to be. You've whittled it down. And at the end of the day, it's Michael Fassbender. What's a man's favourite colour?
A man or me?
A man.
A man's favourite colour is black.
Is it black?
Yeah.
I think it is, you know, because...
It is.
When I wear colours, men are like... They don't care. When I wear black, they're like, oh, you look good. And you're like, well, it's just black.
I mean, when we take out the science fiction and the action, The Matrix was made successful by black. Loads of black leather everywhere. Yeah. It's just so cool.
It's not cool. My friend's apartment looks like a place where you would kill sex workers. And he's got a black sofa. Leather. It's just horrible. There's no personality.
That's true.
You know, there's different things. Black can be very cool, but not in a flat when that's the main colour, surely to God.
This is true.
What's your flat like? Or house?
It's very well decorated, but I am not responsible. I got one of those furnished places and I've changed it so little.
Oh, wow.
I have no sense of feng shui. Like, one point the landlord came by and was just like, you've not put up anything or moved anything. And I was like, well, that was so pretty. And then the time it changed was when my mother visited.
Yeah.
And she brought in plants and things like that. But even so, it's now exactly how my mother left it. I do nothing.
Wow. You got no interest in that sort of stuff?
No interest or aptitude. I would just ruin it.
Wow. I was going out, seeing this guy once, and his like flat looked like a hotel. Like it literally had a picture of a London bus. You know, it was like so hotel-y. I said, you've got to do something with this flat. It's so soulless and depressing. And he said, like what? And I said, I don't know, like start with some flowers maybe even. And then he asked his cleaner what flowers he should get. And she said roses. And he got the grossest bunch of fake roses in the grossest pot I've ever seen in my life, and that was all he did. I couldn't believe it.
This is a man after my heart.
Oh,
right?
God.
Because on realizing that you are terrible, you outsource these things.
Yeah,
him
yeah.
asking his cleaner was the right way to go. In fact, he should have gone a step further and say, can you pick it up for me?
It must be nice for you because you could stay in any hotel and be happy if you don't care about the decor. You just stay like in the worst places on the right when you're touring.
Also, I went to boarding school. Right? I went to boarding school where you're literally in a cubicle like a prison cell. So I think it's from that. It just becomes a place where you sleep.
I don't know. But we're also different, and that is the rich, beautiful tapestry of life. But I will send you some things on Instagram about colours and because colours influence your mood.
They do. This is why my mother changed things and added a carpet, and because it did look like a hotel room until my mother stepped in. But then after my mother, it stayed how it was. I've not personalised it at all.
Yeah. Lovely little mummy's boy, but at least you don't still have mother in the cupboard. So that's quite something. That's nice. Is Amanda Holden nice?
Oh, she was absolutely lovely. I spoke to her like one or two times during the pandemic. We stayed in touch, not like we talk all the time, but like, you know, Christmas or the end of the world.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
And she was absolutely lovely and so enthusiastic, which is always great.
So we can forgive her for the whole Les Dennis debacle, can we?
I am not aware of that. I barely read the tabloids. I don't know the British thing.
It was so long ago. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know them. I'm sure they're both very lovely and marriages break down. It's just very funny to like sort of not forgive someone you don't know for divorcing someone else you don't know.
Oh, it's so funny. It's also interesting how passionate people get over like, especially when it's like, you know, oh, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston. And there are people who hate Angelina Jolie to this day. And I'm just like, you don't know any of these people.
Yeah. Oh, well, now she's asking. Are you a huggy guy?
This is the interesting thing is I take my cue from the people I'm with.
Yeah.
Because people have such different boundaries. Because I have a friend who literally, when we meet, we're like glued to each other.
Aww.
And then I have another friend who once was tripping over and I literally put my arm around her to catch her.
Yeah.
And she was very uncomfortable with that.
Okay. Yeah.
And felt that my hand lingered too long. And it's just one of those where there are people who do not touch me, stay away from me.
Yeah.
And there are people who, the moment they see you, they're like flop all over you. And so I am happy with both. I love being touchy-feely.
Mm.
But again, I take my cues from the person I'm with.
That's a safer way to be in these prickly old times.
Before those times, I think the thing is, because I'm indifferent, I can bend to whatever you like. If I haven't hugged you, I won't be depressed.
Yeah.
And if I have hugged you, I will enjoy it.
Yeah. Are you a romantic guy? Are you with anyone? Rude question.
I'm currently not strictly with some.
Go on.
I date. I have people I date.
People he dates.
But nothing's been upgraded. Look, I can't explain my complicated situation.
And why is that, would you say?
I think that over the years, my life has led to unconventional couplings. I didn't seek them out. It's just the people I met. And, you know, I'm always traveling, which is one limitation. And then I'll fall for someone who's, you know, got a kid and lives very far from me. Then what ends up becoming the relationship is very unconventional.
Yeah.
But then again, the more I speak to people, no one has a normal relationship. It's a myth.
Yeah, and also I think you attract in what you need at the time. Do you know what I mean? Because when you say like, oh, yes, I didn't choose to meet these people, but something in you definitely is choosing that because
something to,
you're getting something from it, either a degree of independence, which you need at that time, or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Because I would always attract in fuckboys and that is because that's what I needed at the time. Not needed, but I was like, I couldn't say you're a bit of a fuckboy, are you?
like a sweet one. You know what I mean? Like, there's no lying.
Yeah.
I'm honest. Personally, I don't think it's about what you do.
Yeah.
It's about how honest you are about what you're doing to each partner you have.
For sure.
My problem is with deception, not necessarily how much fun people are having.
Yeah. For sure.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go on, take us back then.
History.
The past.
Memories.
When stuff was cheaper, son.
Woolworths.
Coffee wasn't a good.
Instant coffee. Is it the war? It's not the war, is it?
What was your family like?
My family, interestingly, very close-knit, even though often we were scattered around the world by necessity because being refugee and then my dad being a diplomat. And so we'd be scattered around the world. And then we would meet. When we meet, it's really like a grand celebration because we don't see each other all the time. Like, I'm going to Malawi in 2 weeks. I haven't seen my family like a year and a half. Whoa. Because of COVID. And so it's going to be great. And my favorite day is the day you get home, because the first night and the first dinner is like a storytelling night.
Oh.
Because everyone's sort of telling what they've been doing. And I think I'm a comedian because I come from a family of storytellers.
Yeah.
Everyone's loud and tells stories with animation and voices. And oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow. And what was it like growing up in Malawi at the time when you were 11 and lived there?
So what happened is we had a dictator called Kamuzu Banda.
Yeah.
And my parents fled Malawi because of that.
Yeah.
I was only able to go back into Malawi when the dictator left.
Fucking hell.
And that was when I was around 11.
Yeah.
And then I was coming back to my home country, even though I'd never been there.
Wow.
As a kid, you don't realize these things. You don't realize it's odd that you've lived in 7 countries.
Yeah.
It's only when I'm an adult and you start comparing notes that you're like, oh, I had a weird upbringing.
What's Malawi like now? Is it beautiful?
Malawi's beautiful, very poor. Extremely poor.
Yeah.
Whenever people are looking for a place to go in Africa, I'm like, Malawi's lovely, it's safe, it's peaceful, but you got to bring your own entertainment because we haven't necessarily got all the developed. We've got a beautiful lake, but they're not people on parasailing. Do you know what I mean? It's got the nature, but then you've got to bring some creativity to it.
Well, that's why you're so good at storytelling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's a very storytelling nation. I think some cultures are more into storytelling than others. Like Scottish is an example where people are very big storytellers. And again, Malawi is a very storytelling culture. Oh, this is the other thing. People always say there's no hurry in Malawi, right? So you could be walking down the street, you run into someone and hello takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not just hey, and you move on. You stop and you talk and they tell you what's been going on and you tell them what's been going on. And that is one thing I miss with the pace of life in England.
Yeah, especially London.
Yes. People have no time to listen to your stories. they want the caption version.
Headline, yeah. If anything.
Headline.
And then be off. I was just thinking when you're saying that, oh, that sounds lovely. I'd fucking hate it. I'm like, I've got no patience. There was a girl, she's a really nice girl, but we were at this weekend, so we kept like bumping into her and she would just talk about nothing. And there were 3 different times where I just walked away from her. And my friend was like, you can't just walk away from someone. And I'm like, yes and no, you know.
Oh, but you see, the problem there is not that she's a storyteller. The problem is that she's a bad storyteller.
Yeah.
People who go off on tangents and people whose lives are petty, but they think it's so important.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about good storytelling. Also, Malawi's poor. There's a lot of struggle. Makes for good stories.
Yeah. Right?
People don't have nonsense problems. It's an actual problem they're telling you about.
Yeah, flipping out. What does your dad do then? He a lawyer?
So he's now a politician. So he was a lawyer, worked for the UN, retired, and then didn't stay retired, and then ended up becoming a politician.
And now, is he one of the dictator ones, or is he from a different sort of school of thought?
No, he's not. If he was a dictator, I currently would be in a 5-star hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell from the fact that I am in a little Holiday Inn that my dad is not representing Mugabe style.
Yeah, that's nice. What's his vibe then?
So right now, his party is not in power. So they used to be in power and he was a minister, but now his party is an opposition. But he is the representative for his region. And weirdly, I was talking to him about it. He almost feels that you can get more done in small government sometimes than in big government.
Wow.
Because when you're in power, there's so much to do and so many obstacles. But when you're just focusing on this area needs wells,
yeah,
this area needs a better road, it's tangible and achievable.
Well, that's nice that he's making a difference. Do you sometimes worry? I sometimes worry about comedy. I'm like, oh dear, we're not making much of a difference here. I say much, I mean any.
I think we make loads of difference.
Go on.
Wow. Because I think this is the thing. Comedy, it has so many ripple effects. First of all, there's just the, in the moment, I'm having a bad day. I laughed. I feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But even then, like the things which you talk about get into people's minds in a way that other things don't get in.
Yes.
Right? Like, for example, if I gave a speech about racism to a bunch of racists, they're not listening. But if it's hidden in jokes, sometimes it gets in. Like my radio show, I've got emails from teachers who now play episodes of it to kids because it talks about slavery and stuff, but in a funny, approachable way.
That's amazing.
Now, I'm not saying all comedy. Of course, there's comedy which is just mean-spirited.
But
I think that the best of comedy is transformative.
Oh, my God. I love that.
And I also just think of comedy that helped me get through things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I was a very unhappy kid. And then, you know, discovering funny books was an escape. And, you know, the first time I saw Eddie Murphy's Roar, that was like a wonderful escape from being bullied. And I mean, comedy is amazing. That's why I've dedicated my life to it.
Why are you so positive, do you think?
I think it's partly because I will admit that I've had a sort of blessed life. And I think that I've been in difficult situations, but I was always adjacent to them. So I've been in a country which was in a war, but I was in a nice house looking at the people struggling. Yes, my family was trying to help because he was in the UN. But it's very hard to become negative if you're like, you realize you're privileged all the time.
Yeah.
And then it's also, I think I grew up with really good, supportive people around me. There was always laughter.
Yeah.
And I always find it interesting when I meet cynical, bitter comedians because I'm like, but we live in laughter.
Mm-mm.
How can you not be happy?
Yeah, I guess they might not have been so lucky, maybe, but yeah.
Yes, it's true. But I also think it's like we all get our humor from different places.
Yeah.
What I can't do, I can't roast. I didn't realize this, but I was asked to audition for this like comedy roast battle thing. And I realized that my comedy cannot be in insulting someone. I just can't, it's not me.
Yeah. But you can turn it on its head because we didn't want to do that. Me and Luke did a roast battle and we were like, well, we don't want to be mean. So we did this thing where I had this whole narrative going through it where I like accused him of different things, which were all quite silly anyway. And then at the end, it turned out like I was in love with him. Like it was obvious that I'd done those things or...
A different thing. That's lovely. Yes. Something like that. But it is that thing. It's like, I'm too happy and positive for roasting. I mean, I could roast someone I love in like the sort of best man kind of way. And I think that's how roast started. If you go back to watch those early roasts of like the Friars Club, you know, Robin Williams roasting Richard Pryor, it's all very friendly and very light, not very cutting.
Yeah.
And then somewhere it became, say, the most unacceptable thing, and that's not me.
Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. I think that's enough. Okay, do you have anything to ask Psychic Sue?
Psychic Sue. I would like to ask Psychic Sue, when will I find true love?
Aww.
Let's go big.
Yeah.
Let's go big.
So you do want to find true love.
Of course. I found it before.
Yeah.
It's just, when will I find it again?
What happened with the last one?
The last one was bad timing and misadventure, you know, bombs were involved. Like, literally, my dad's office blowing up and me being stressed by my dad being arrested and not being able to be available emotionally.
Oh, my gosh.
While she had other stuff going on, which meant that she couldn't be, and that there.
And why was your dad arrested?
Oh, my dad's a politician. So he was arrested, suspected of corruption. He was found innocent of all charges. And when you look back at it, you realize it was a very clever strategy because the trial went through the election period and then they just kind of stopped caring.
Oh,
and it kind of fizzled because it had done what it was meant to do.
There's so much corruption. It's insane. At least he wasn't corrupt on the upside.
Yes.
Okay, it says, yes, soon. About true love.
Great.
And usually they put three dots and it's got two. So I think it'll be sooner than we think.
It's imminent. It's just around the corner.
What's your type?
Passionate, talk way too much, often troubled, often artistic.
Yeah, I know exactly the type. Okay. I'll keep my little spies open. Oh, I won't ask you again, but I tell you who will. It's Alan de Botton. That was Luke on keys, if you can believe. Alan de Botton. Now Alan de Botton wants to ask a question.
Okay.
Do you know him?
I do not.
He's like a social thinker. What mistakes do you wish you could go back and correct?
Oof. It's very interesting because I love my life.
Mm.
I even love the painful bits which have led to some of the positive things now. But what I wish is, I wish I could go back and not hurt some people who I hurt.
Yeah.
I don't mind that I went through the bad experience, but then I do think it's kind of sad that I hurt that person.
Yeah.
It's almost like I wish I left less damage in my wake.
Yeah. But maybe it helped them be... It all helps get you on course of what you do want. So I don't know.
Oh, I've thought of another one. When I broke up with an agent.
Oh, go
when
on.
When I left an agent... It was terrible. I was very mean about it. It was very terrible. And again, I would go back and do it more professionally because it got so hurtful. Because they didn't want me to go, said you can't go, and then I became mean.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I wish I hadn't. I wish I had.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. There are moments where I feel like there was unnecessary violence, unnecessary emotional violence on my part.
Yeah, but you're not born a swan. You change into a swan.
This is true.
From a little baby duckling. Cuddle recipe number 101. Take two arms, wrap them around something and don't let go. Unless the person asks you to let go. Or animal. Okay, best, worst or weirdest cuddle?
Best one was like an all-night cuddle.
What?
Like, no, nothing sexual, just an all-night cuddle.
What do you mean nothing sexual? That doesn't make sense.
It was a close friend of mine who was going through a bad time, and we just chatted and cuddled the whole night.
Oh. Like,
it was quite intense. It was interesting because it was a different key of the piano than what usually happens when you're cuddling.
Yeah. You can stop it, can you? Sometimes you can stop the energy being like that.
Yeah. And because we weren't that to each other.
Yeah.
Still support and affection and all those things, just minus one bit. Yeah, that would be the king cuddle.
Yeah. I suppose if you've got your trousers on.
Yeah, look, you have thoughts. You have thoughts. Of course you have thoughts. But there's a matter of what you know you are to each other.
But then I think you can manipulate the energy a bit. Like, because if you go down that rabbit hole, sometimes the energy takes hold that is quite sexual and you can feel it in the air. And you're thinking, well, can they feel that? Because I can feel that. But sometimes you can put the kibosh on it. Well, you always can put the kibosh on it. That's the thing.
I often put the kibosh on it.
Yeah. When you're in bed with your mother, for example, you can put the kibosh on.
Yes, exactly. There are loads of situations where you just kibosh it. I've like, okay, let's say 70% of my friends are female.
Yeah.
And I do not have relationships with all of them. So I kibosh it all the time.
But then even though you can kibosh it, I still wouldn't let my partner sleep in the bed with a woman. Like, even if they were just friends.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe I have polyamorous tendencies because I don't think that I want to be everything to one person.
Really?
And I don't think they could be everything to me. So if they have an intimate friend who they don't sleep with, but it's very affectionate and tender, I actually think it makes our relationship better.
Oh my God. I want to be
all things to everyone.
I understand wanting it. I don't think it's possible.
The only way I would let my boyfriend sleep in the bed with a girl is if they were... Well, there's no nice way of saying this because we're all beautiful and we're all God's children, but they'd have to be the ugliest girl that I'd ever set eyes on.
Really?
No.
It's really interesting because there's a big difference. You know, well, I know which of my friends' partners are actual 100% friends.
Yeah.
And I know which ones... There's a little something.
You know it.
And so it's always like, hug Brian as much as you want, but stay away from Idris.
Yes. Interesting.
There's a section called Night of Ice. Is there any way you can just, like, shit out anything flat? It's just for advice.
Nice advice.
Okay, what do you think life's all about? That's the last one.
I think life is about laughter, right? It's about enduring things and then laughing about it. It's that sort of like looking back on moments and transforming them.
That is a lovely answer. There's some people in life who, like, they don't really care about laughing. I've met a couple of them and they're just like, oh, well, there's one girl. And she was saying what she was looking for in a partner and she didn't say humor. And I was like, don't you care about sense of humor? And she's like, no. I was like, what? How are you living?
And also I would meet that person and I'd be like, I have no chance because I've realized my sole technique is to last people into bed. That's my one move. I'll keep you laughing until you like me enough to overlook other issues.
But then when you're in bed, there has to be a point where they're not laughing.
Oh, no, of course.
But imagine they get into bed, they look at you and then they're laughing. That's not good.
They're still laughing. That would be dreadful. I'm just saying that you remember those old top trumps cards people used to have?
Yeah.
I know very well that I've got on my top trumps card, humor is very high.
Yeah.
And then there are a number of other things people look for in a partner, which are very low. But as long as I can keep them looking at the humor, I'm in.
Humor and hygiene. That's my top two.
Humor, hygiene, empathetic, I guess, is another plus.
Okay, are you ready for your cuddle type?
Okay.
I put all the details into the cuddle calculator.
I also want to know who programmed this.
Well, it's top engineering. That's all I know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
Well, here's your cuddle type. Da-da-da! A sailor. You'll sail in the seas of cuddlies, which does kind of fit because... I'm not saying you've got a girl in every port, but you're not doing badly.
Two ports. But still, two ports. But still, it's more than one port. But it's also not 20 ports.
No,
it's manageable.
No. Yeah, it's manageable. And one day you might just have one with a... Polyamory is very popular and it's very interesting. Everyone's going towards that.
Yes. I said I lean towards it, but I think pure polyamory is total chaos.
Yeah. But comedians love chaos.
Oh, it makes for good jokes.
I think you've just got to see where you're at the time. I don't think there's one good answer. I suppose it's a suck it and see kind of scenario through life.
Literally suck it and see, but yes.
Literally. All right, well, it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It's been fun. I didn't know what to expect.
Yo, 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 this is the outro. Actually, when you think about it, what a lovely guy, isn't it? Oh my God, there's a few people that would like to be his wife, I think, actually. He's just a wonderful soul. And if you're thinking, let me see this wonderful soul on tour, well, yes, you go to daliciochaponda.com, which is daliciochaponda.com. I hope you got your big bio out for that. And he's on tour right now, so I'm not kidding when I say, get your credit cards out. Also, do come and see me on tour. I've got a lovely show now. Oh, Ben, tell them it's a nice show. You saw a preview last night. You can't put your thumbs up. It's a frigging podcast. Get on here and tell them I'm... tell them. I want them to hear you saying it. I can't say it about myself, Ben. Ben. Oh my God, Ben won't come on and play. I'm talking to Ben now, but you can hear this. Ben, you can't say your own tour is good. Someone else needs to say it's good, Ben. All right, well, come or don't. I'm not going to bloody whistle for it like a dog, okay? Oh, you've got to love Ben. He's his own man. He won't do what he doesn't want. He's his own strong man. Strong man? Do you remember strong man? Strong man competitions?
Well, they're still the things, so you don't have to remember them. Look them up online, they're still going on. Anyway, look, I'll see you on tour. I'm going on tour. You can't stop me. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.